Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of WrestleNomics Radio. I'm Brandon Thurston, broadcasting on demand from Buffalo, New York, where today is Sunday, Mother's Day, May 9th, 2021. My voice is already worn out from having to shout over the brunch crowd roar, but nothing will stop us from talking about viewership, blood and guts, and things of that nature. NHL viewership compared to AEW's viewership. Dark Side of the Ring is back with its number. AEW Double or Nothing will be at full capacity. Meanwhile, the country of Japan is under attack from COVID-19. The big Forbes article with the interview from Chief Brand Officer Stephanie McMahon. We'll talk about that and an update on AEW's pay-per-view sales for the Revolution pay-per-view in February. All that, but first. Now joining me for another journey into the world of professional wrestling business is our friend and colleague, Chris Gullo. Welcome once again, Chris Gullo, to WrestleNomics Radio.
I am happy to be here. Another beautiful Sunday as we record this.
Yes.
You got your, I believe, coffee. And
yes,
I got water with fruit slices. So
I'm drinking out of my officially sanctioned WrestleNomics mug. You went to Betty's for Mother's Day, I heard. I was told by my sources where they have vegan cuisine.
Yeah, they have a lot of options for a vegan. There's not just like, hey, potatoes, and oh, I can get a veggie wrap with no cheese.
Yes.
There's actually more than that.
You know, I haven't mentioned this yet in your, what is this, like your fifth week doing this?
Yeah, I think so.
I have not mentioned it because we don't want to turn anybody off, because I know a lot of people have a lot of mixed feelings, polarizing emotions about the world of veganism. But this is an all vegan podcast. All plant based is a better euphemism, isn't it?
It's been much better. Plant based podcast, yes.
Yes, it's a plant based podcast. But in the meantime, rediscovering the indies, I've heard, is now coinciding. I mean, we can't call it a cause and effect necessarily, but there's a correlation between your appearance here on this widely listened to podcast and an explosion in the listenership of Rediscovering the Indies. Is that not the case?
Yes. I, ever since I have joined this podcast, I've noticed an uptick in listens and social media activity on the Rediscovering the Indies social media and, as far as listens per month. And I want to thank your great audience who kind of came over there, and I hope they're enjoying what they're hearing. We're XPW Part 3 will be coming out this month, and there will be a Part 4 of XPW. Part 3 was great because we got to go into all the drama of how Ring of Honor and CZW both hated them for being in Philadelphia. So,
in fact, I've heard even a certain hardcore legend, independent wrestling Hall of Famer, you might say, has interacted with your media recently.
Yeah. Yes. If you guys did listen, you know XPW Part 2, a big part of it's New Jack throwing Vic Grimes. Well, I happened to post in one of those wrestling Facebook groups about, hey, listen to the podcast. And New Jack himself, heart emoji did, and then wrote, I believe he could fly, in terms of throwing Vic Grimes off.
So we don't have confirmation that New Jack is actually a listener of the podcast, only that, or just the heart emoji.
Yeah, we like to say he's a fan of the show, we think. Yeah.
So now when we're talking about the different emoji, so this is Facebook, correct?
Yes.
Not Twitter, where that's the only.
He didn't do a thumbs up.
Oh, right. So what I'm saying is he could have just liked it, thumbs up, but he went a step further and he gave it the heart. He gave it the love. Heart. Yeah. Yeah. So New Jack feels passionately about that.
And then all I could think of was, we didn't say anything negative about that. That's all I could think of.
Yes. All right. So you want to talk about wrestling business? We are, by the way, we are obligated contractually as part of the Voice of Wrestling Network to open with opening banter. So that is in the contract. As in our media, long-term media distribution agreement. So,
but yeah, we can get right into the nitty gritty, as you say. We'll get into Blood and Guts, the viewership of Blood and Guts, which overall another impressive week for AEW. I'm not surprised at all, as I thought this was definitely going to attract some viewers. Plus they had some other matches on the show that were very, very attractive to the, what I think the typical wrestling fan in today's world. But yeah, so Blood and Guts, and we can kind of get in the ratings and everything, but I guess you have some special audio here?
I do.
What regarding this?
Are you familiar with the creator of Blood and Guts?
Yes.
Are you familiar with this individual? Let me take you back to July, I believe it was July 31st, not 2020, 2019. The before times, as some of us call it, where one Vincent Kenny McMahon was on an earnings conference call. His ratings were in the toilet. He was getting a lot of questions about engagement, and George Berrios and Michelle Wilson were still around. WWE popularity was apparently on the decline. One of the things that Vince decided to do to combat this decline was to hire two executive directors. One being Paul Heyman, and the other is a former WCW and current WrestleNomics fan, Eric Bischoff. So that had just happened, and he was asked this question coming from Eric Katz of Wolf Research, one of the stock analysts on the call, sort of asking about, well, you've got these new creative directors, and there had been either reports or rumors that maybe, you know, the content would get more edgy and, you know, would they push the envelope and do things that were, I don't know, more outside of the TV PG rating. And so this is one exchange on that call from July 2019.
Okay. And then, just coming back to the engagement a bit more, clearly you're addressing it head on with the big hires. Can you talk a little bit about the intended direction of the content going forward? Because if it's going to be a bit edgier, I'm just kind of curious how your partners feel, especially Fox, because the censors are probably a bit stricter for broadcast.
We're going to be a bit edgier, but still remain in the PG environment. We just haven't come anywhere close, actually, to going into another level. So that'll be something we'll do in terms of direction of content. More controversy, better storylines, et cetera. But at the same time, we're not going to go back to the, quote, attitude era, and we're not going to do blood and guts and things of that nature, such as being done on perhaps a new potential competitor. We're just not going to go back to that gory, crap that we graduated from. And again, it's a more sophisticated product. Again, attracting much better writers and attracting, better management and things.
So there's that. That's the exchange where the phrase blood and guts was first uttered by Vince, just sort of placing WWE in the world of on the spectrum of violence, far on one side in AEW on or whatever potential competitor he may have been referring to on the other. AEW at that point had done two shows, I think. I think they'd definitely done Double or Nothing, and I think they had just done the BR Live, maybe Fighter Fest or something. Where
I think so. And the TNT deal was announced at that point too. So
yes, which brings me to our next excerpt from that same conference call with Laura Martin, the analyst from Needham, who I would venture to guess at that point, maybe even today, had not heard of AEW, I would guess. She was asking about something completely different here. She's trying to get at, you know, ratings are down, but I think what she's kind of getting at, but not stating that as that clearly, is that you're doing all these things and investing and spending to combat ratings and hiring these new people, when isn't it just the case that ratings are going to be down just because of the nature of the environment? And why spend against that when you can't really control that and just sort of accept that this is what's going to happen with that metric? It's going to be down and just, you know, continue to grow in other ways. So here's that excerpt and exchange between Vince, who she always calls out Vince, and Laura Martin.
Let's go to Laura Martin with Needham.
Yeah, thanks again for taking the follow-up. So, Vince, one of the things you said last quarter was that content, or your storylines and your content and loss of talent was affecting ratings. And although ratings got better in the quarter, we still have negative comp in not only ratings but live event attendance, and that's affecting consumer products. And you're like the best businessman I cover. And my question to you is, at what point do you decide that investing this extra money and hiring extra writers actually doesn't solve the problem, because the problem is structurally shrinking ratings for the that linear platform, and the fact there's just more competitors coming to entertainment programming over the top? So at what point do you stop spending extra money trying to get the ratings up because they actually can't go up? What metrics are you looking for?
So I'm going to pause it right there. Does it sound like she's talking about AEW in that question?
I see with loss of talent, right there, that was for me right there. And I think that's the most I got from it. I mean, but yeah, she's basically saying, hey, you got outside forces that could be challenging your ratings.
I don't think she's talking about, AEW at all in that question. And the fact that she said the word competition set off Vince to say, oh.
As far as the competition is concerned, the old adage of competition is good for everyone, I think that's generally the case. Although, again, we're hoping that, you know, to the extent that they are competition, that they don't continue on with blood and guts and gory things that they have been doing, which would be bad. And I can't imagine that, you know, I can't speak for TNT, but I can't imagine they would put up with that. But nonetheless.
And then about a year and a half later, almost 2 years later.
On TNT, ain't no running, ain't no hiding. It's blood and guts, a Dynamite special event.
Oh, you talk about animosity, you talk about hatred.
Featuring for the first time in AEW.
One of the most brutal matches ever seen.
Two rings, one giant covered cage.
Pinnacle versus Inner Circle is going to be a lesson in violence that you never forget.
Blood and Guts, an AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite event, live at 8 on TNT.
So Vince McMahon has sort of created this great brand for AEW, you might say.
And it was originally supposed to happen in Newark, New Jersey, before the pandemic happened. It was scheduled for, like, I think, was it March?
Yeah, I think it was going to happen right around the time the pandemic started. But I think... I'm not trying to make this sound too serious, but I think, you know, Vince was clearly, at least on that call, highly aware and very heightened to any suggestion that anybody would be asking something that would be referring to AEW. And I think it sort of flies in the face of the, PR message that WWE and their executives like to put out, that they are focused on themselves and they don't think about AEW, and AEW is like the NBA's G League in terms of the competition. We pay way more attention to other forms of competition like the NFL and whatever else is on TV at the same time, which has truth to it. But, you know, nobody else is as a direct competitor as another player in the wrestling space. And AEW is a distant number two, certainly globally, but is a real competitor, and a competitor for talent, and a competitor for the time and energy and market share for that consumers generally have for wrestling.
I really wonder what Vince thinks about that now. What did they call their cage match? No, he probably doesn't even know.
Well, I think he probably knows about it, but I think, you know, he's trying to position that as we're family friendly entertainment that advertisers and business partners can be comfortable engaging with and doing business with and having their brand represented alongside our brand. And, you know, they're doing something that is more outlandish and more dangerous and more violent and less family friendly. And they're occupying a certain niche and they think there's an opportunity there. But we're really by far the brand leader here in the world of, let's not call it wrestling, but in sports entertainment. So I think that's probably his position. And there's an argument to be had there. But there's, you know, that's one very small piece of the story, I think.
But yeah, we can get into the viewership report of how they did with Blood and Guts, as well as all the other wrestling programs, as we have a wrestling program every day of the week.
Yes. So AEW
related program, at least.
Right. So AEW Dynamite Sunday, Saturday is still open. Well, if I guess MLW is on Saturday, but anyway, AEW Dynamite was number one on cable in P18-49. This was not their highest ever P18-49. Rating. They had about, I know the demo rating, I don't have that right here, but the demo viewership comes out to about 540,000 viewers, which is not their biggest, 18-49 audience ever, but it is, among the biggest ever. The biggest ever by far is still their debut episode, where I think they did a 0.68. Demo rating, but they did not finish number one on cable on the night because there was a baseball wild card game on ESPN that night that greatly beat everybody on cable. But this is the first time they, I guess, I don't know what the latest is on Challenge, the MTV reality series, I think. I believe the new episodes ended last week and now they're on some sort of reunion on this night. Anyway, AEW won on cable. The Voice was on Fox, so The Voice was the most watched program of the night. And but AEW was the most watched program on cable. Warner Media put out a press release bragging about it the next day. So that's a big deal for them.
Yeah, it's really huge, and that's, they're still around that, you know, back to that 1 million mark or over that 1 million. And honestly, I bring up the live to tape thing. If people know it's live and it's something, you know, special, like they're going to constantly be over a million, I think.
So you'll
have some dip offs under. Go ahead.
So you think the taped and the live matters?
I think so, because the way they do the taped for AEW is there is no audience in the crowd, mm-hmm. which, yes, that avoids spoilers, but it's just a different feel and they don't put the marquee matches on there that they would for a live show.
Okay.
Like, I mean, the taped crowd's going to get Nagata and, you know, and Moxley, which is pretty, really? Pretty great. But you would wish that would be in front of a full live audience.
Yeah. So Nagata and Moxley has already happened?
I believe so. I mean, if they are doing the normal taping schedule that they do.
Yeah.
From the gist I get from is that they do the live Dynamite on Wednesday. They tape another Dynamite Thursday night where it's just the extras as the audience, and then they tape the darks and the elevations.
Okay.
So they tape two darks, two elevations, a Dynamite, all between, I think, Thursday and Friday.
Sure. So we could look into that. That's something I could look into. I just got to figure out which episodes are the taped ones and which ones are the live ones. There would be other factors to consider, like the strength of the other competition on cable. Wednesday, there's a tab in the WrestleNomics viewership spreadsheet, which all patrons get access to at patreon.com/WrestleNomics. There is a tab in that spreadsheet that looks at what it looks at Monday, looks at, you know, every day of the week, Sunday through Saturday, and sort of calculates which day is the busiest for viewership. And so far in 2021, Wednesday has been the most, has the highest average viewership. But a lot of that is related to big news events happening on Wednesday so far this year. But yeah, it's something that we can look into. So over a million viewers for AEW Dynamite, which is 22% up from last week. I'm putting together, also part of the spreadsheet, a, WrestleNomics viewership report, which I'm probably going to start putting out weekly. Maybe by the time people are hearing this, patrons will already have access to the first beta version. So we do know that AEW Dynamite was up 22% in terms of total viewership from last week. If you just look at the last 4 weeks, and take the median of the last 4 weeks and compare it to this episode, which is a good way that I think that there is to look at how out of the norm was this rating? How unusual was this rating compared to normal? It's one thing to look back 1 week, but was that 1 week an anomaly? Was that a big rating or a bad rating? You know, if you look back, on this episode a week from now, and this was a big built up episode, and if the rating is somewhat down, but down from what? Anyway, so if you look at the median of the last four, the total audience was up only 9%. Now, granted, I don't know that we're at a point now with due to the time slot changes of NXT where we have enough of a trail behind us for this to be the greatest measurement. But in a week or two, that's all going to get smoothed out because that will be beyond 4 weeks in the past. But by the same measurement, by the meaning of the last four, this was up 20% in the key demo of 18 to 49. Males 18 to 49 were up even higher by 25%, and males 12 to 34 up 47%. So big increases, especially in the male audience, somewhat in the female audience too, but to a lesser degree. The P50 plus barely moved compared to the median of the last four, up only 1%. So there's that.
The lifers.
Yes.
They're WWE lifers.
P50 plus is not a volatile metric, or is not a volatile demographic. So there's that.
So, so with the viewership report, we can kind of break down throughout the week. Let's first talk with numbers for the Randy Savage biography. And then it was a Jerry Lawler Most Wanted Treasures this week.
Is that who was on it? The Macho Man biography was down from last week. Last week was the Roddy Piper. It is now Sunday as we record this. Who's on tonight? Do you know?
Booker T. I don't know who the Most Wanted Treasures is, but Booker T is the biography. But Booker T may be the Treasures too, because he did film one of those too.
Yeah. So the Macho Man biography, 790,000 viewers, down from 880 for the Piper biography, 400,000 in 18 to 49. These biographies continue to do well, where they're starting to erode a little bit, but still doing better than NXT by a little bit. In the same week, NXT did 761,000 viewers and only 230 in the key demo. So the biography nearly doubled it in terms of 1849 ad demo viewers. Miz and Mrs. Also edged out NXT in the key demo. Yeah, 693,000 viewers for Miz and Mrs., 761,000 viewers for NXT, but 280,000 viewers in 1849, 230 for NXT. W's Most Wanted Treasures about the same demo rating, so about 280,000 viewers in 1849 for Most Wanted Treasures. In terms of total audience, though, well behind NXT with only 563,000 viewers.
I was just going to say, for the wrestling historians too, Most Wanted Treasures was stacked because you had Dave Milliken, the belt maker, and Bill Apter was on the episode as well. Mm.
And then on Thursday, we have now, for the moment anyway, the Thursday Night Wars, where Impact is now head-to-head against Dark Side of the Ring. And this is where I've put in the notes that we should start to make predictions. I've not even thought about this. This is something that we should have thought about last week, was like, what is Dark Side of the Ring going to do? And as it turned out, Dark Side of the Ring did a bigger rating than Impact did. Dark Side of the Ring, with its first episode of the third season, this on Brian Pillman. This is a 2-hour episode. I have the impression that most of these episodes from here are going to be 1 hour. Does that sound right?
This is the only one that's 2 hours. Yeah, this is the only one that's 2 hours. They're starting to do that where they find one topic that they're just not too much to speak about in an hour. Mm-hmm. So they debut it with two hours, and then everything else is an hour going forward.
And Dark Side of the Ring was viewed by 272,000 viewers, more than doubling Impact Wrestling at 123,000, featuring Kenny Omega, more ammunition for the people who think that Kenny Omega is not a draw, but it was going head to head with Dark Side of the Ring. in the key demo. I think it did a 0.09 in the key demo for a rating, which comes out to about 120,000 viewers in 18 to 49. Compare that to roughly 50,000 viewers for Impact in 18 to 49. So will Dark Side of the Ring beat Impact again this coming week? Do we know what the subject is?
Yes, Nick Gage. So maybe not.
I hope it as a as someone who thinks favorably of Nick Gage, I hope it does well. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I he's a very, very nice man. I've enjoyed the two shows I've worked with Nick Gage, and I've enjoyed his presence. So yeah, I mean, if it does, I mean, I think it's going to do well. But it's one of those things where you got people want to know more about Brian Pillman because how big of a star he was. Nick Gage, I think it's still going to do a good rating, but it might not be. It's not going to have the same ratings that the Pillman episode had this week. All right, and so Brandon, another thing we haven't got to yet, the SmackDown overnight rating, as you know, we do record on Sunday, so and the throwback SmackDown where you know we saw the referees with the blue shirts, a CGI fist, and a lot of 1980s throwback stuff that had nothing to do with SmackDown when it debuted.
I know it takes me back to those days of in the 80s mm-hmm. of watching SmackDown on UPN and things of that nature. So I'm looking forward to throwback NXT, hopefully, to take me back to my my glory days in the 90s of watching NXT on my tube TV.
Well, they have done NXT in your house.
That's true. You have to exploit the nostalgia somehow. We have an overnight rating as always. It looks to have done about 2.1 million viewers, which of course motivates headlines of SmackDown up because it was up. I think 7%. It would be if the overnight rating is correct, this rating will be up 7% from the prior week. But you will see headlines saying, the rating is way up, SmackDown, way up. Because, I mean, the nature of ratings is that you kind of have to create a massive spreadsheet to make sense of any of this data. But it's just numbers, unless you look at some longer range. And the wrestling media industry is not an industry that is well invested in, I guess. So it's a difficult thing, but.
Or they could just say slight increase in ratings for SmackDown.
But that would require looking beyond 1 week.
No, yeah, okay. Yes.
Which is time consuming. And wrestling media is not exactly some people's full-time job, but is in a lot of cases, the people who are writing the ratings article are not people who do this for a living. They're maybe doing it for $10 or something.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
But here's a beautiful thing. They don't even have to do all that work, Brandon. Do you want to know why? Because it's done on the WrestleNomics Patreon.
Yeah.
And it is updated 5 days a week.
Yeah. They could just look at the spreadsheet And
there it is. The
tough thing is, though, seriously, is that I think that's a good point of reference, the meaning of the last four, but that's a mouthful. And there's part of what would make it more easy to communicate this if there was a really direct, straightforward, simple, easily digestible to the reader sort of metric. And when I start spitting out things like the meaning of the last 4 weeks compared to the blah, 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 like, what the fuck? It kind of gets over the head of the general reader. So that is always the dilemma. So there's that.
All right. So we will continue with viewership, but move to, because we don't really have MLW ratings for this past Saturday, I would imagine.
MLW aired on Saturday at noon, I think, on Vice.
Yes.
It did not make the top 150. So it didn't do huge viewership. Here's the thing. Showbiz Daily is showing the cable originals. Is that an original? I don't know. Who knows how they would define it? But it did not make the top 150. But we'll see in the future. Whatever its time slot MLW ends up on, if they end up airing first run episodes on there, there's a good chance it'll end up in the top 150. I would imagine that the built-in audience for it is smaller than the Impact audience, which is just kind of barely making it some weeks, but it's making it. There's been a couple weeks where it didn't make it. But it's in the, today, this week, I think it finished in the 120th something. So there's a decent chance that it'll make it to the top 150, but we'll see.
And there's new episodes in July for MLW.
Is that?
They're almost taking a couple months off, yeah.
Okay.
Their next TV taping is July 10th in Philadelphia. They'll have the crowd, too, first time for them in a while. Mm-hmm. So.
And speaking of crowds, AEW Double or Nothing. The third AEW Double or Nothing. There has now been one Double or Nothing with an audience. There has been another Double or Nothing without an audience. But this Double or Nothing will occur with a crowd, according to Tony Khan on his weekly appearance. I think this is a weekly appearance now he's making on Sirius XM's Busted Open, which we'll listen to the clip of Tony Khan talking about full capacity at Daly's Place for the pay-per-view.
Going to be over 1,500 people here tonight, and it's going to be really, really great. We've opened it up closer to 40% capacity, and now I'm planning, as we get closer to Double or Nothing, to start loosening it up, and I expect to be at full capacity outdoors for Double or Nothing based on what a lot of other sports have done, and I think it's going to be great. And really, I'm just excited to get back to a sense of normalcy. AEW's had a great run through the pandemic. It's crazy how much has happened. There's a lot of our biggest stars have never wrestled in front of the full crowd at 100% capacity, which is insane when you think about how many big people in AEW that applies to.
So there's that. He was speaking on Wednesday. So at first there, he was referring to the capacity for the Blood or Guts match, which I think is one of the only match that was happening live for the people there. But anyway,
which the full capacity thing, I find it interesting, and it's good on their behalf that he's doing a slow build to full capacity, because in Florida there is no restrictions.
No,
you can have full capacity if you want, as we saw with the UFC, and as we actually see here that there was full capacity at the Machine Gun Kelly concert.
That was at
Daly's Place.
That was at Daly's Place. Yes.
Yeah.
So that was full capacity. And Daly's Place is an outdoor venue. I think it's retractable, right? But it's outdoors.
Yeah.
So that should hopefully make it safer. May 30th, by the way, is the date for Double or Nothing. Tickets have not been put on sale yet. What is the capacity for Daly's Place? If our producers are listening, maybe they could look that up for us and shout it into our ear like Vince McMahon. But 1,500 is what they put in the – what they had a capacity for, is what their capacity was for Blood and Guts.
5,500.
5,500. I would be surprised if they sell that out.
I mean, that's also not having a wrestling ring, though. So, I'd imagine it takes it down a tiny bit,
mm-hmm.
because that's just a straight concert.
Right. Yeah. So is it too early to do this? Well, not in the opinion of Governor Ron DeSantis, who says you can do whatever you want in Florida. And don't you dare make anybody prove that they have to be vaccinated to do business with you. Governor Ron DeSantis doesn't stand for that. But anyway, yes, go ahead. Oh, you have comments about Governor Ron DeSantis.
Well, not so much Ron DeSantis. So, like, in my opinion, I think there should be a slow build to full capacity, but still definitely opening things up. In New York, they're opening things up, but the plan is to have a vaccinated section and a negative test section.
You're talking about Yankee Stadium. Another governor.
Yeah, well, just in general, yeah.
Our governor, Andrew Cuomo, reopening Yankee Stadium to full capacity immediately?
I don't think it's immediately, but he says this is the plan he has to put in place. I think right now it's 33% capacity, but we're in Buffalo. We're going to host the Toronto Blue Jays. We're going to be at 24%.
But Yankee Stadium is going to be full capacity if you're vaccinated, and then there's going to be the non-vax section.
Yep.
Will they have separate concessions and things of that nature? I don't know.
I think that it might be too soon for full capacity, but there's baseball stadiums in Texas doing it. In Florida, they've done it for events.
It's outdoors, too, which makes it
outdoors. More reasonable.
So, which I find interesting. Go ahead. You got something else to add on that subject?
No. I was going to transition to something else. So go ahead.
Sure. Which I find interesting in light of we've got Japan in a state of emergency. New Japan is postponing its events. On May 7th, New Japan put out a statement saying that the Japanese government announced an extension of the state of emergency currently in place in Tokyo and other prefectures. In light of this announcement, as well as current COVID-19 infection status, and in order to prevent any potential further spread of the virus, New Japan Pro Wrestling has arrived at the decision to postpone the Wrestle Grand Slam events in Yokohama Stadium and the Tokyo Dome previously scheduled for May 15th and the 29th, respectively. That was on Friday, last week Friday. We didn't even talk about it, apparently. I missed that. And then, on May 9th, on May 4th, before this? No, wait.
There was more positives that came out very recently.
Yes. So. I've got my dates all messed up, though. Let's clear that up first. This is a statement. The statement that I just read is a statement that they made on Friday, like this most recent Friday. And then on May 4th, there's two wrestlers who have COVID-19 in New Japan. And then today, there was the announcement. I think today, Japan time anyway. Seven more positives who are, I don't know if they're wrestlers or New Japan personnel to some extent.
Yeah, it's crazy to see outbreaks like this late in the game because of the vaccinations and all that. But with the stats here, only one, less than 1% of the Japanese population is fully vaccinated. So their chance to spread it is much higher as far as, just on percentage of population. But the death rate has been a quarter of what U.S. and Mexico has had as far as COVID-19. And they didn't seem like a country that had, like, obviously when COVID first outbroke, you heard every country was having issues. But much like Australia, it seems like they took it down and then all of a sudden an outbreak happened again.
Yeah. It's something I've been covering. I haven't talked about it in a while on WrestleNomics, but something I talked about a lot over the summer, especially when New Japan was, getting – this is New Japan. Remember, New Japan didn't run from March through the middle of July, I think, is when they started to – and even they brought fans back into attendance at a limited capacity in the middle of July is when they restarted that. But it just – I think it speaks to the enormous differences that at least two countries, the U.S. and Japan, are reacting to COVID with at vastly different thresholds. We got the death rate, which you mentioned, is one quarter in Japan. It's one quarter of the death rate in the U.S. and in Mexico. And the U.S., as we just mentioned, we're talking about Open up Daly's place to full capacity. Open up Yankee Stadium to full capacity. Meanwhile, in Japan, their death rate, which is about a quarter of ours, it started to rise, and they're saying, wait a minute, we can't do this Tokyo Dome show. I've heard that maybe that the Tokyo Dome show might end up happening because the Tokyo Dome is maybe operated by the government or something. And they're trying to make accommodations and not shut down every business activity that there is. And it's been like that throughout the pandemic. The U.S. case rate, death rate, many, many times higher than it is in certain countries like Japan, but Japan being so much more careful in some ways relative to the case rate and the death rate. In Japan, you still can't cheer. Everybody's got to wear masks, which everybody's going to wear masks in these U.S. venues as well. But cheer in your hearts is, I think, what the guidelines were. Clapping only. Americans are not going to clap only. Oh, hell no.
They're not wearing masks. I watched baseball last night. The Atlanta Braves, nobody in the audience is wearing a mask. No, none of the fans. Mm-hmm. So
there's that.
I wanted to backtrack. We did almost skip over a topic. The AEW viewership compared to the NHL. Because we talked about in the last previous weeks, them possibly going to a Wednesday night time slot. Would it be on TNT? Would it be on TBS? And is it a smart move for TNT to move AEW off and put the NHL in compared to viewership ratings? And Brandon, with that, you dug in and did some research regarding this.
I dug in deep. I busted out the big Showbiz Daily spreadsheet. Maybe at some point we'll share that with patrons or something. But I compared NHL to because we were raising questions about, what is the NHL viewership and is NHL going to interfere with the normal time schedule for AEW Dynamite on Wednesday? Because Wednesday is this big NHL night. Does the NHL do better ratings or comparable ratings, lower ratings than AEW? By the way, it does sound like this is going to be a TNT thing. It doesn't sound like this is going to be a more so TBS thing. Maybe it'll be games on TBS, but it sounds like this is going to be it's going to be on TNT. Just some of the articles I see where people are, being hired and it's being reported that, so-and-so is going to be, covering the NHL for TNT when it comes to Turner. So I'm sure there are other people who know more about this than I do. But anyway, the viewership. AEW, basically the takeaways here are that AEW Dynamite, even when it was opposed to NXT, easily scored bigger ratings than the Wednesday night hockey games on NBC Sports Network. And it gets complicated because Wednesday night hockey is not just one game necessarily. There may be a later game. So what I did was I said, and then sometimes there's even earlier start games. So what I did was I said, I want to take the start times between like just before 7 p.m. Eastern and no later than 8:30 or so. So that we're really getting the prime time slot game. And it's not even close. AEW greatly outpaces it. Now, the volume is different, right? Because if we're talking about what TNT's probably going to get, or certainly what NBC Sports Network has currently, far more hours of programming than 2 hours per week, which is what AEW gives Turner. So there's that. But there's really no question either in the key demo or in total viewership that AEW, outdoes all but the most highly viewed NHL games. There's even some examples of Stanley Cup Finals games that were on NBC Sports Network that did not do a normal AEW rating. And that's going to be even more the case when now we're in the era of AEW unopposed by NXT, where they're going to, who knows what they'll do. We're in an early, not totally stable and normal set of examples here so far, but it looks like they're going to do something around or maybe just under a million viewers, and they're going to be doing a 0.4-ish in the demo rating. So that's well above what NHL games, at least on the NBC Sports Network, were doing. Now you would think maybe with TNT. TNT is probably a stronger network, and TNT has other strong sports programming that might funnel viewers over. But even then, I'm not sure that NHL is going to do competitive ratings with Dynamite.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that would work in favor of the NHL compared to AEW after everything you said is ad rates. I'm sure ad rates are better.
Absolutely.
For hockey than wrestling, but that would be the only thing.
Yes. Wrestling is still blood and guts and gory crap and things of that nature. And unless you're WWE, WWE's great, maybe. But no, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think ad rates.
WWE unites everybody.
We'll talk about that in a moment. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I think ad rates, I don't have any numbers on this. This is just a belief and an intuition and sort of based on things that people have told me. I think ad rates have improved over the years. If you didn't give Stephanie McMahon credit for at least one thing, that it's, I think it's that WWE and pro wrestling maybe generally has become more advertiser digestible, and ad rates have probably improved over the last decade or so. Nonetheless, it's not a major four-team sport like the NHL is. And so the NHL is probably, at least on a per-viewer basis, more valuable. And by the way, if you want to get this broken down in great detail, go to patreon.com/WrestleNomics. There's a post about this that was put out this past week that I created. There's a PDF attached to it that I think is like 20 pages. How long is this PDF? It is 20 pages, exactly. And it has every game from going back to October 2018 to late April of this year, going through all the details here. So you can
remember $5 a month.
Yes.
That's all. That's all it is.
It's like you get a Subway sandwich, or you get monthly access to the spreadsheet and to all this tremendous analysis.
All right, so we did kind of tease it a little bit. There was a Forbes article about WWE, and including their new slogan, where they added a word to it. And, Brennan, you wanted me to kind of read the excerpts from this that you sent to them.
I have some beautiful passages for you to read from this article that was published on the 4th. What day of the week was the 4th? this came out on Tuesday. On the Forbes Sports Money blog. Now, I think there's been some very interesting stuff on the Forbes Sports Money blog about WWE recently, especially from Alfred Conowa, who does a very good job over there. This is not by Alfred. This is by Michael Lurie, I think is how you pronounce his name, who covers sometimes WWE and a lot of other things in addition to that. Probably a very nice person. Now, there's this we should explain first. Everybody's familiar with this Forbes brand, this Forbes magazine brand. They also have sort of a bloggy side of it, and then there's like the real Forbes magazine side of it, and this is kind of on the Sports Money blog is more of a blog. So there's that distinction to make first. So there's this article. The headline is, New WWE Signature Sends Message of Unity and Inclusion. Again, this came out on Tuesday. And it's basically an interview with Stephanie McMahon. But go ahead. Now you can read the passages. Read passage one.
All right.
There's two passages here. Read the first one.
All right. So, surrounded by a collection of WWE superstars, Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon officially welcomed 25,675 members of the WWE Universe in attendance at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida, and the millions watching at home to WrestleMania 37. The event, for the first time in 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day since WWE hosted fans live and in person due to the coronavirus pandemic, WWE has been hosting virtual fans through its Thunderdome since August. But following cheers and chants from mass attendees who earlier had to endure a rain delay, the WWE signature played, which also featured a message for the WWE Universe, a compilation of superstars past, present, and future, and featuring iconic sayings and sounds. The 30-second signature displayed four words, then, now, forever together.
Yes. Yes, WWE has always been about inclusivity. So surely we've set that up, and there's going to be some questions maybe in the article about how Peacock is you know, looking at the content and realizing, well, okay, you've got some guy doing blackface over here. You've got the CEO using the N-word over there. And you've got the executive vice president. Just happens to be your husband doing blackface over there. And, so there's things like that. And we could go through a number of other things in WWE's history that don't seem to necessarily support the idea that WWE has always been about inclusivity. In fact, we even look at the current programming and look at things like Akira Tozawa running around like a ninja and things of that nature. So surely there'll be some inquisitive questions to come in this article, right?
Yeah.
What else does it say?
All right, so we'll continue with this. So ultimately, what the signature does, it recognizes our fans, it recognizes our community, and the message of inclusivity is so important. Chief Brand Officer Stephanie McMahon said, WWE has always been about inclusivity. We are all about bringing people together, putting smiles on people's faces, and creating moments and memories that last a lifetime. And then they state that WWE is hoping to continue reuniting its family with a return to live touring events in the second half of the year, McMahon confirmed. That is absolutely the goal we're marching towards, she said. In a non-pandemic year, WWE's multi-sports entertainment brand allows the company to perform over 450 live events in the United States and abroad. As fans eagerly anticipate a return to the stands for events like Raw, SmackDown, NXT, McMahon hopes the company's messaging, particularly through the pandemic, continues to let the WWE universe know they are appreciated. She said the reaction to the new signature, whether from fans, employees, partners, or on social media, has been positive. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll continue. She said, I think people feel it. That's one of the key goals of all time. McMahon said, Maya Angelou has a great expression. She said, I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. I live by that. It so perfectly describes human nature. If you can make people feel they are connected to you in a much deeper way, that has more meaning than reading a brand slogan or tagline. When it's something that impacts them emotionally, those are the things that you remember, and those are the things that you take away. She's busting out the Maya Angelou quotes.
Yeah. That's the end of the article, too, by the way. We didn't read the entirety of it.
That's it.
You can go to Forbes and read it. We didn't read everything, but I wanted to read a large part of it so that it didn't seem like we were isolating certain excerpts.
Well, it just seems like some of this wrestling media, you know, they maybe lean towards favoring the companies then, now, forever, together.
That's clever. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So speaking of wrestling media, let's talk about the Wrestling Observer. The AEW note regarding the Revolution television pay-per-view buys said that they won't know the number until 60 days after the event, but they are not expecting the number to be in the 71,000 range. And last week, the show was believed to have done 87,000 viewers based on streaming in the U.S. and the international. So
Right. Kind
of jumping the gun a little bit on the viewers there for Revolution.
So the week prior, Dave wrote in the Observer that it looks like it's based on some information that he had. He apparently got some data, some information from a single cable company. And from that extrapolated that AEW must have done 159,000 pay-per-view buys. I've previously reported that it looks like a good estimate for AEW Revolution was 125,000 buys. So what appears to have happened here is that Dave wrote what he wrote last week about 159,000 buys and then was told by those at AEW that, look, that sounds too high. So I'm looking forward to all the news sites who, wrote about Dave's report of 159,000 buys to follow up on that. And, I'm also looking forward to the generations of listings maybe on various websites around the internet for generations to come that will list AEW Revolution 2021 as having 159,000 buys because at one point the Observer said so.
Yep, they got their number and they're not going to fact check it afterwards.
Well, he made an estimate based on numbers, real numbers that he got from presumably a percentage of the pay per view universe. But we'll see. We probably won't see. You know, it's not like AEW is going to come out and say yes, definitively we confirm that the number is this.
All right, so yeah. Other than that, of the WrestleNomics Patreon, $5 a month. All those, you know, facts with the sheet plus special stuff like the with the AEW NHL comparison. But you get that viewership spreadsheet. It gets updated 5 days a week.
I thought about too, especially on days where there's big ratings news that people get excited about, like last Wednesday because AEW whatever they finished number one for the first time. And this would have to be a Patreon tier thing, to just go through and read all the replies and the quote tweets. And maybe that would even act as a deterrent.
There'd be some interesting things there.
Yeah.
All right. So, social media, you can find me, Chris Gello, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as my other podcasts, RTI Pod on Twitter, Rediscovering the Indies on Instagram and Facebook. Check us out. We'll be releasing XPW part 3 within the next 2 weeks, where, you know, we talk about some fun stuff there as far as the Philly Wars, and then really the end of XPW, Shane Douglas being the booker as well. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
And you can follow WrestleNomics at WrestleNomics. You could follow me at Brandon Thurston. I'm Brandon Thurston. He's Chris Gullo. We'll talk to you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.